When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not-so-daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm back to recording in my car because this is going to be a nutty week for me, art instructors. I'm teaching 5 classes this week, and they're not all in town. I mean, I just drove back from Detroit, from Harper Woods, for a comics class that I recorded from 6 to 7 o'clock, and then it was like another hour and 15 minutes back after that. As a side note, not that this show is about reporting on my life. Well, it could be. It's my show. I'm starting to do some classes where I do it over Skype, or the class is held over Skype, and I'm talking with a group of kids potentially hundreds of miles away. I love that idea because I'll tell you what, some of these classes I'm doing where I'm driving for upwards of 3 hours for a round trip just to do an hour's worth of work, it's rewarding, but I'm getting back into the life of having a commute again, and that's not quite as fun. But anyway, what am I thinking about today? Well, as usual, there's great content going on in the forums, and somebody started a thread about naming, coming up with a title for a comic. And I think we're going to go into this a little bit more in a future art and story. We've got a topic selected for talking about titles and logos of stories, but I just wanted to jot down a few thoughts that I've been having about this, because as it happens, this is something that I've been actually wrestling with quite a bit lately, because I'm developing this new project with Sarah Turner of Cricket-Press.com, Knife Man, MLATComics.com. We all know her, and we all love her. And I apologize for not knowing offhand who started the thread in the forum about naming, but I know a couple different people threw in on it, and I breezed through it quickly, and I've been keeping my eye on it, but you know, that's the thing about recording a show in a car, too, is that I didn't really have time to bone up on my research, but just rather to just stream of consciousness-wise, share a few thoughts on what I've been thinking about in regards to this. But the general sense of the thread was as follows, was what's the thinking process in coming up with a title for a story? Is there more to it than just what sounds cool, or whether or not it's a good log line or descriptor for your story? And there were some different schools of thought going on inside of the in the thread on this. And before I go into this any further, I want to say that I have had a very checkered past when it comes to naming projects. I know I'm not terrific at naming projects. The only comic that I ever came up with a name for that I feel content with is Silver and the Periodic Forces. I think that's a nice suggestive title. It sounds action-y, but it also suggests about the periodic table, and there's that double meaning of periodic forces, meaning that they only show up periodically every once in a while. But you know what? That's based on a title I came up with when I was in fifth grade, so I haven't done anything better than that since then. The front, everybody asks, what the heck is it about? It's not a descriptive title. Equalizers of the Divide. Well, it's a little bit more descriptive, but it doesn't roll off the tongue. The Replacements, like The Front, not the most descriptive title that I've ever come up with. And now, granted, I'm going to take the brunt of that one just because, Sarah Turner threw in on that too. But I remember there was a long series of emails between us with a bunch of different titles. Like, even one, I remember I suggested one would be In Lieu. Like, In Lieu of This, It's Now That. That's an awful title for an action-adventure comic. But I think about this a lot, especially after going to the American Library Association conference. Having met a lot of librarians there and participating, or rather attending, a lot of the panel discussions where questions were being asked by librarians, I got a good sense of librarians who are really plugged in and are building really big collections of graphic novels in their libraries versus those who still have yet to build a graphic novel collection. And I do believe there is some distinction between these two classes of librarians. Now, the headline is that I really am beginning to strongly believe that librarians are the tastemakers in our beloved industry. And I think that if we can get books put in front of the right librarians, that could be the inroad to an audience that being mentioned in a trade journal or a book list, I think that that could be potentially more powerful than those things. Obviously, Oprah's still the major tastemaker in the world, but more so than being in like a Wizard magazine or in a comics journal, I think having a librarian recommend your book is much more powerful. Why? Because the librarians are making face-to-face contact with their constituency, with the kids who are reading the books. They're the ones recommending them the books directly to the kids who are hungry for comics. Can Diamond Distribution say that? A comic store can do that, but that's a whole nother ball of wax in North America. So anyway, the short answer is I think librarians are the tastemakers, and they're the people that I think we should keep our eyes on, or rather be beginning to market our books to in a significant way. I think we can do a lot of end runs around the existing publishing models by doing that. So this raises the question. Should you tailor your title to be noticed by a librarian? Oh, this is potentially, I can see somebody saying this is a little Machiavellian, that this is a little manipulative to try to think about your title not in pure art terms, but in terms of salesmanship. Now, salesmanship. Just talked to Dan Mishkin this morning. We were having a little brief Kids Read Comics meeting and talking a little bit about storytelling, as is our want as comic storytellers. And I brought this topic up with him, and he said, well, what is a title for your story other than the sort of like the storefront of your story? It's the sales pitch for your story. It's the thing that's like a cover is going to catch the attention of potential readers. And so a title is very much so or at least we can think, it's not terribly Machiavellian or manipulative to think of it as a one-word or three-word pitch for the story to grab somebody's attention and capture their imagination. So, if we accept that, and I'm not saying that we all should, I'm just saying that I'm beginning to buy into this, is I think about marketing my book, this book that Sarah and I are working on, marketing it to librarians, I think about this. I think about, okay, well, I want this book to be marketed to children. I want it to be read by young people and the young at heart. That's usually the kind of stories I do. So how do I get a librarian to say, based on a title, this sounds like something that's good for kids, something that, or at the very least, is not harmful to kids, something that will activate cognitive activities in a young person's mind that librarians and parents want. I'm just saying this as a broad, very broad generalization. Librarians don't want to hear that it's fun for the kids, right? Because they're grown-ups, and they feel good about giving kids entertainment that is also good for them. And if you just sell them on the fun factor, that's not enough. You got to sell them on the education factor or on the deep thinking factor. This is going to either give them some pro-social values, or it's going to make them smarter for having read it. So the story Sarah and I are working on has a lot to do with puzzles. Puzzles figure in largely, and I'm going to explain this more as Sarah and I begin documenting this process of building the story. But the story has puzzles in it somewhere. And so, of course, that is something that I can sell to a librarian. Oh, there's puzzle deciphering activities inside of this story. How can I rope that into the title? Well, am I going to just call it Puzzlers? Well, that's not very descriptive. That doesn't tell you much about what the premise is. Okay, the Puzzlers, it's something to do with puzzles. But where's the action-adventure angle? And by the way, as an aside, I haven't come up with the title yet for this thing. Neither Sarah nor I have come up with a title we're happy with, but I'm just explaining this process, my thinking process right now. But how can I create a title that elicits the sense of action and adventure, mostly adventure, and the fact that these kids, the characters in the stories, are going to be doing something with puzzles in the story, and that puzzles will figure in largely into the narrative and into the thresholds of adventure in the story. That's something I'm thinking a lot about. So I will agree that sometimes a title is just what you wind up sticking with. It's just like, this is the best I can come up with. In the case of The Replacements, it was the best we could come up with in the time that we had. And we spitballed a ton of different titles. Equalizers of the Divide, I was really trying to go for an epic sounding title that said, you know, these are heroes of the great wild, blah, blah, blah. That was specifically a feeling we were trying to evoke, but I acknowledge it's not, it doesn't roll off the tongue. So what I'm going for, what I'm trying to find with this puzzler story is something that rolls off the tongue, that's easy to say, that summarizes the story very succinctly and very clearly to a specific audience. That's the other angle that I'm working with. I think about Raina Telgemeier's smile. By the way, Wednesday is the deadline on the contest to get a hardcover of her book, Smile, which I bought an extra copy of so I could give it away to you guys. It's a great book. And one of the things that I think she did right with that is that it's got a simple title, Smile, right? A positive word. Librarians like that. And then the cover has this wonderful, simple graphic of the smiley face, the 1970s Have a Nice Day smile face, but the smile is open and there's braces on the teeth. Bam, you've got that connection to the orthodontics and dental work. It's an unusual image association. And with that simple title and then that very simple image, and it captures the imagination. It invites you to open it up. And especially librarians at the ALA conference, they were talking about Smile at a couple of the different things I attended. And the librarians all reported that they absolutely adored the title and the cover. Because it's a simple, and it's a multi-meaning title, right? Smile is in not only about like dental reconstruction, but also learning a positive message through her development from preteen to teenage years. But the librarians eat that stuff up. So, gosh, you know, it's something I'm wrestling with really hard. But I do think it's worth investigating and thinking of your title as also a way to do a one word to five word pitch of your book. And I'm not going to say that, like, again, I haven't been terribly successful at it in the past, but it's something I'm working harder towards. And as I, whatever title Sarah and I land on for this puzzler story, I'll be sure to document that thinking process for all of you guys, so, you know, we can share whatever experience I have in that arena. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz of jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for your support of this project. We really couldn't do this without you. And I think it's time that I gave a plug to Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com for doing the wonderful voiceover for the intro to this. My brother Elliot Drozd did the music for the intro, and he's almost there to having a website. And once he's there, I'm going to promote the heck out of it because I think he's a really talented musician, and I'd like to... I'm sure other people will think so too once they hear some more of his work. Actually, the videos that we post on Art and Story Supreme, a lot of the videos where I got the camera over my shoulder and you're watching me do one of the daily sketches for Google Illustration, a lot of that music was done by Elliot. So you can hear some more of that there. And that is another cue into saying, don't forget to check out the forums. There's some really interesting stuff stickied at the top of the forums. That's it. You're on the Art and Story website now, I'm guessing, if you're listening to this. And right there in the header is a link to the forum. Go there and check out some of the stickies at the top with the Art and Story Challenge and the Zine Challenge that's being put on. And, of course, don't forget to check out the other great microcasts like Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily and Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast. And there is more audio stuff to come. Oh, one more thing. If you haven't checked out the forums, I started a thread about relaunching Art and Story Alive, and I would love everybody else to chime in if they whoever hasn't yet. We're looking at relaunching the show as a For the Storyers, By the Storyers podcast, where only people who subscribe to Art and Story Supreme, either as a monthly, yearly, or forum-only subscriber, can participate. And we're debating on whether or not this thing should be a public show or not. If you want to chime in on it, read what's been said so far, and then chime in on what you think the show should be. I really want to hand the show over to you guys, and I would just act as host and conversation facilitator in that regard. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So you can check that out again in the forums. So, okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, you saw how the Widgets were fooled by Evil Lynn's disguise. They learned that bad things can be made to look good, and why we should always be careful and question everything that doesn't seem right. But it works both ways, and that's why the saying you can't judge a book by its cover is so important. What it means is that appearances can be deceiving, and you shouldn't judge books or people by the way they look. It's what's inside that really counts.